Oh, welcome on this amazing Sunday, April 24th. And this is our start our
2022.
oh yeah, thank you. 2022. And we're all really looking forward, Eleanor, to another beautiful lesson with you. So onward. Blessing.
Okay. So my question is, have all of you, any of you, been using the idea of the walking in your day every so often, here and there?
Yeah.
So in life, when you go around, do you notice how many people walk sideways instead of this, instead of this beautiful contralateral walking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Valentina, is it something about the walking? Go ahead.
But it's not me. A friend and I were on YouTube and we happened to put on Fred Astaire / Oscars. And watching him, what my friend said, even Fred Astaire walking is dancing. And it's very interesting to watch him. He does dance a little, but it's, and he's like 70 something on this Fred Astaire Oscars. Just watching the man walk to the podium, he's doing everything you're talking about effortlessly. It's in his body and it's just so beautiful. And you can tell everyone in the audience is going, my God, he's dancing when he walks. So I recommend that 5 minutes of video to see the walk you're talking about in action, practiced by a true master.
Well, there you go. And here's the other thing. Anyone who has danced all of their life, let's see, anyone who dances automatically understands this contralateral movement, but not forward, they understand it backward. So they understand that the connection is from the back of the left shoulder to the back of the lower right, the back of the right shoulder to the back of the lower left, that they're opening up. It's not the walking down, but that they're always opening up. Why? Because in dance, it's always about not connecting to the ground. It's about connecting up. And so often when I'm out walking, all I do is shift my thinking to up. And I can't believe the difference of walking lovely down to walking lovely up. And it's still going to build your bone density. You know, it gives you longevity in this, as Ruthie Alon would say, springiness. Springiness. So we adopted yet another poodle, standard poodle. He's 10 months old. He was a show dog for the first 10 months of his life. But because he's got imperfect teeth, he had to be taken off the show and breeding world. So I went, well, I'm happy to adopt. So right now we've got, you know, 3 standard poodles and 2 kitty cats. But when he came to us, because this is their learning in the ring and it's a standard poodle thing, they spring up. So when he would walk, people, he had this uprightness instead of the walk. For miles. He was going la, 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 la. Wherever we went, people were like, is he a show dog? Is she a show dog? And we go, why, actually, yes, he is. Because it's that springiness. It's that springiness. Now we've already had him for 2 weeks. And he's getting a little bit out of the springiness into the ho-wee-o, because we go out walking for like 3 to 5 miles a day or 6 miles. So it's that they shift the thinking. So Valentina is saying that, oh no, they're not a strudel. A strudel is a, there's like, and schnoodles and all that. So it's different. Yeah, you can't even call it a strudel. We always thought strudel because they're a German dog, but no. So it's an actual mix between a breed or something. But so anyway, let's remind ourselves of this springy uprightness. So if you will be willing to get your poles or walking sticks with you. Okay. Very good. Okay. Now, remember, just take one of the poles. Can you hear me when I'm standing back? Can you hear me when I'm standing back this far?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Good. Okay. So take the pole and just put it in front of you. Hold on one sec. Computer's a bit of a good. Okay, so take the pole, put it in front of you, and bring the hands so that the fingertips come close to each other. And then we hold the pole with, let's say, the left hand in front of us, and with the strip towards your midline, and bring your hands so that your palm part is facing towards you, and you bring it up through the hoop and resting down. So go ahead, take it out again. This time, turn the pole so that the strip is facing you and the finger pads toward each other, with the palm facing towards you, towards your face, moving it through, open the hand and let it rest onto the strip. And again, you hold the pole so that the strip is facing you, the pads of your fingers together. Bring it, the palm part facing towards your face. Bring it down and up through the hoop. Move the fingers away from you and open them and let them just rest on the strip. And that the fingers are just resting along here, the pole. And now this time, without mindfulness, mindless, just put the hand through the strip and grab it. And notice in the grabbing, our nature, how hard we grab the pole, right? That's a thing. This is why this part is so important, because our nature, when our balance is off, our nature is to grip. Anybody that works with brain injury, there's a thing, because the hands will immediately go into that old ancient grabbing the wrist, the fist. So there's a thing where we would take a towel and we would put it between the fingers. And for the longest time, we thought, okay, well, at least they're not putting their fingernails inside, because that's what happens. And then they grow fungus because they're always this way. Then some therapist once said, but the more we're putting that in there, the more we're encouraging them to grip around an object. So then they realized they had to pull in the OTs, the occupational therapists, or good Feldenkrais practitioners, to work with the hand, so that the hand can soften, and then they can rest the towel in so that it doesn't make the grip response. So what happens is, with regular people, not brain injured, is when you put the pole in there and the balance goes off, the immediate thing is to grip the pole. And you wonder why we all wake up in the morning with sore knuckles and sore hands. Make sense? So we're looking to encourage this softness of the hands, because when we encourage the softness of the hands, who remembers the bell lesson? It changes everything in the brain and the sphincters. So with that in mind, put the pole in front, the pads of the fingers toward each other, turn them so the palm is facing you. Bring in this nice breath of fresh air and bring the hand through the hoop, still facing you. Slowly turn it away. Open the hand and let it nestle down onto the strip. Ne'er to be gripping. You see how easy it is to not grip. That's the nice thing of the strips, is we just rest our hands on it. See, soft. So now with the next one, the second pole, the pads of the finger together, facing you, saying, thank you, hand, and thank you, fingers, for all that you give me. And I will take care of you too. Putting the hand with the fingers through the hoop, still facing you, and gently turn it away. Open and let it nestle. Hold on, I'm going to close my door one sec. Okay, so take it out again. The pads of the fingers together and the hand facing you. And up through the hoop, facing you. Turning it away and letting it drop down and nestle onto the strip. And then just a little bit going from one side to the other. Just welcoming the softness of the movement and connection in your forearms, the softness in your forearms. And we know that there are such strong acupuncture meridians along the forearms. And there's so much that we can tend sometimes to hold tension in the forearms, in how we're holding our fingers. So here, the fingers are open, they're resting on the strips, and we just swing it a little bit from side to side. Francis, can you hear us? Oh, good, okay. So just swinging a little side to side, and now just come back in the middle. And now just take the poles and start to walk so that you're dragging the poles behind you. Dragging the poles behind you. Walk around. I'll see you. If I don't see you, I'll pretend I see you. Just dragging the poles behind you, until you start to feel a rhythm, and you may notice that one pole goes forward and then the other pole goes forward. Just dragging the pole. until eventually you let that swing forward, and now one pole walks on the floor and then the other pole walks on the floor. My puppy's like, what are you dragging on the floor? So drag the poles.
Yeah.
Right, and then let it go back and drag again. So let it go back and drag again until you feel a rhythm of the pole starting, one goes forward until it's really on top, and then you're walking with the poles naturally. And then let it soften, and now it's just a swooshing of the pole behind you, and then walking. So go back and forth between letting the pole drag and then letting the pole slide and then letting the pole walk. And let it walk for a few walks and then let it start to slide one and the other. And then let it go so that they're dragging. Go back and forth. Does that make sense? You want to change the rhythm to let it slide behind you and then start to feel the rhythm of the shoulders gliding it. Without moving the shoulders on purpose, what we're looking for is your natural biological rhythm, not an on purpose of moving the shoulders. It's almost like dragging it until you feel it. This is opposite of all the people who forgot what that's like and now they only walk side to side. And I see that walking side to side happen in people in their 50s or in heavy women, men in their 40s. So it's a stiffness, right? And what happens is eventually it puts a lot of pressure on a knee and a hip, and the hip can get degraded and the knee can get degraded. But what happens is people come and become exhausted because they're not walking in their biological way. They're only walking over structure, teetering always on one side to the other. And then we lose balance because that's not about balance. Balance isn't standing over to the side on one leg. Balance is this whole being moving together, waking up your biological optimism. So one more time, come back to the middle and rest for a moment, just standing. And just notice if there's some kind of sense of quietness in you. A connectedness with your upper body and your lower body. Maybe a connectedness in your legs, all the way through you to the floor. And then again, let the poles just hang down on the ground and start to walk and let the poles drag behind you. Drag behind you. Until at some point you start to feel some kind of rhythm happen where one pole comes front and then the other pole comes a little bit forward. Until eventually that pole can come up on top of itself and then you're walking with the poles, clicking the floor. And then let it just sort of drag a little bit along the floor. as if it's going to land on top of itself. And then go back to clicking the pole to the ground. And then letting it drag one forward, one back, because your body's doing it, not because you're doing it. Go back and forth so that what you're learning to do here is continue to check in on your own internal biological rhythm so that you're not doing it on purpose because someone's telling you to do it, but because there's something in the rhythm of your body that's starting to do it. And then come back to the middle, let the poles hang. And feel this in your body. Notice how you might be standing more balanced on both legs, maybe a little bit easier, equally, and is your low back even quiet? And are your shoulders quiet, meaning that they are away from their pattern of being one higher than the other or rounded in front, but they're in this more neutral place, easier. And where is your head? Where is your head in all of this? Because there's a question we can ask ourselves. Do we have a tendency to offer our head and neck up in front of us too often that it puts strain in the neck? Is your head and neck in an easier place? And then just one last time, start to walk around the room, let the poles drag, that you feel one pole naturally on your own biological way start to swoosh along the floor. And don't worry, it's not about the clicking of the pole, but it's about getting that swoosh. Just feeling it, feeling that in your body. When you wake this system up, it helps our brain to function better. It helps the brain to function better because we're waking up something that is innately in our youth. And then come back and let's sit down. Okay. Just as you're sitting here, what do you notice in your body? What do you notice in your hands? What do you notice in your forearms? And what do you notice in your lower legs? you know, a lot of people, animals included, can get a little bit of neuropathy in the lower legs. Sometimes that comes from a nutrient inhibition. Sometimes it comes because of the acid in the stomach isn't high enough. And sometimes it comes from the spine. There's a lot of, and heavy metals. There's all kinds of reasons. But what I'm asking right now, we don't care about the reasons. Notice what you notice in your lower legs. Is there a sense of something that is like peaceful or quiet or soft? And I wonder, does that sense in the lower legs and that sense in the arms go together? So raise your hand or speak up. What did you notice that's different when you let your hands be soft, when we work with this biological way that is not a telling you what to do, but reminding you how to wake it up? Valentina. Where did you go? Uh-oh, you have to unmute. You're still muted.
Sorry, I thought I had. My shoulders were soft and sort of expanded, but not pushed down, just allowing down. But from the shoulder down through the hand and also the lower legs felt really billowy. I felt like I had big marshmallow arms and lower legs, soft, but, you know, billowy.
So you know what's interesting? Because I'm always thinking of systems rather than parts. Mm-hmm. And there is something in this work that, as Ruthie Alon would say, waking up our biological optimism. And when we work with ourselves politely and courteously in waking this biology in us up, then the upper and the lower connect, and this and that is the same because it's all our biology. It blows my mind. Okay, Leslie.
Yeah, so I feel much more connected. I can feel all of my limbs and my body. And when we started out, I wasn't remotely prepared to get up and move. It wasn't in my mind to get up and move. That's not what I was doing right now. So it really had to kind of like wake me up. It took me really by surprise. But now I've sat down and I actually feel connected to myself, which I probably haven't been for quite a while. Maybe since last class.
It's a little bit like an internal body meditation of that kind of feeling, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Right. Thank you
very much.
Anna.
The last class that I was able to experience with you, Eleanor, and you went into this process about how can we connect the different parts of ourselves with our breath. And all month I have been every day practicing with that. And right now, all of a sudden, my hips just opened up and felt so soft when I sat down. And then I realized my breath had really increased in places that I had felt so holding on to
which is where I'm always like, can I breathe into that new place here?
So really my breath, all of a sudden it was like, whoa, it softened, opened up. So thank you.
You know, you think about all beings, why we hold our breath, right? And how is holding the breath associated with tightening up the body? And it doesn't mean we always want to walk around doing deep breathing. You know, Moshe Feldenkrais would talk about it. There is no one way to breathe as long as we're breathing, right? You know, he would say, how long can you go without food? Days. How long can you go without water? Days. How long can you go without oxygen? Moments. But my thinking was, is how often we all went around minimally breathing. So then he talked about minimal breathing, and he called it febrile breathing, right? And it was a great discussion about, you know, he's like, because someone in the 70s published a book called The ABCs of Breathing. And he's like, there is no ABCs of breathing. Don't let anybody tell you, you know, it's like, you have to understand, it's the, you're going to breathe differently when you're squatting down to squat up, carrying, picking something up heavy. You're going to breathe differently when you're walking in the forest. You're going to breathe differently when you're driving the car and you see sirens behind you, the flashing lights, is a whoop, right? It all of that changes your breathing. And so, but the thing is we, when we wake up that connection, then our body connects it. And I believe a lot of the breathing comes from the cerebellum, the lower part of the brain. And there's so much when we have shallow breathing all life long, we wonder why that cerebellar area struggles. So, and then if the cerebellum area struggles, then it maybe later on becomes, you know, a sleep apnea type of thing that didn't have to do with anything but that. So, and then of course in the cerebellum, there's so much with movement. And what is movement when the cerebellum isn't working well, by the way, FYI, side to side, tiddly totter. It's something to think about. So while we can't open up the little door back there and go, oh, well, here's a screwdriver. Okay, give me a string. Okay, I need a piece of tape. There, we can use movement.
Thank you.
And this movement is so simple. It takes moments. Leslie.
Yeah, so just because Anna mentioned it, the breathing exercise, I actually wasn't in the class, so I was doing it as a catch up. And I happened to do it over Easter, and I had COVID over Easter, and I didn't obviously know what I was going to be doing. So I started the breathing exercise. Oh my God, it was amazing, because all of a sudden, there were some of the areas it's fine. And then there was when you were doing the one down the bottom, when you're breathing out to the side, I could not isolate that. And it made me realize where all my congestion was, basically up on the top. And it was amazing. And ironically, you at the same moment said, it's okay, you're safe, or something like that. And it's like, because I hadn't felt safe in that moment. Oh, it was so amazing. It was so interesting. And it was interesting to do it, but to do it whilst already having, like, you know, the COVID or whatever, it was really, really interesting. But I just needed to tell you that. So thank you. It was great. It was really interesting.
You know, and I think that was a lot of us when we had COVID, that it's that low, the lower lobes, right? And so yeah. if you remind me and you want, we will, if you remind me, if you all would like, we'll do 5 minutes towards the end of going through the different areas of breathing through the lungs. If you would like to do that again, it's extremely restful, but it wakes us up to the areas that, you know, we breathe more out of this, but not so much out of that one, more out of this, not so much out of that one, or whatever. And it can be musculoskeletally oriented. It may be just habit oriented, but we're just bringing them all together. If you would like, it's really lovely. Here, I'll put that on my notes, but still remind me if you would like. Let me put this here. It's okay, Borgoy. Okay, and just one last one. Joyce, I know that you had raised your hand at some point. Would you like to say something?
Certainly. I found a great thing that happens when we work with horses after we've done some work with them. And before our last little reinforcement, we were standing in the neutral place and I moved one foot and I thought, okay. And I thought I'd probably put it fore or aft of the other foot. No, I looked down, it was totally balanced, totally next to the other foot. And before you asked us to be aware of our posture, once I saw my feet level, totally straightened up my whole body. And then I had weight evenly between the balls of my feet and the heels. And I haven't just felt that great comfort and both legs working equally. And then you said it, but it was just incredible. So it's very fulfilling to do something so small, to get a benefit that is so large, just like the touches.
And
so many times horses come and they'll put their feet level after they've stopped because that's where they need to be. It's really nice.
Is that all four-legged animals too, right?
Oh yes, dogs, of course. All animals do that. And that's why Linda talks about the importance of posture with our horses for the same reason.
You
see horses go like this, you do the work, and then they do the gliding through the pelvis. It's just, thank you for this.
Well, and you know, when we have that ability to gliding in our body, I think we're more present. I feel more present. And I feel not so distracted from outside. I feel like I can be right here and I can read and comprehend more. I can retain the information more. There's something in the way of fluid movement that, again, it's, I don't want to use the word stimulating. I'm going back to, it's waking up more of the brain to be involved. Nothing needs to go offline. So, well, let me ask you, I know Linda likes us to take like a 5-minute break. I know we started late. I've got another lesson, but we can take a 5-minute break if you would like before we start a lesson that we call head zigzagging so that you can prepare your space to be up against the wall. Sandy, if you can. Linda, would you like to take
break? Yeah, we'll take a 10-minute break.
So okay.
Right now it's 56 after, so let's go till, my notes, it's 4 minutes before 8 here. So let's take whatever that is. Come back at 6 minutes after the hour, wherever you are.
Okay. See you all
later. Eleanor, before we do, I want to say I was just eating while I was listening and I don't have my pole, so I couldn't do it. But I so enjoyed the timbre and the tempo of your voice and of your teaching. It's so totally inviting and present. It just keeps us present. And I really phenomenal.
Thank you. I mean, what I do is I keep looking back at everybody. So it's like, really, I'm not here for me. I'm here being able to watch everyone. And when I can't see them, then I do the movement and I experience it in myself. And as if I'm you, and then turn around and look back at the screen to see how are you receiving it, everybody here in this, in our communal space. So that you all make that easier to happen. So thank you.
So let's say 10 after now.
Okay.
And we'll see you then. Have a nice break. Okay. Thank you.